So, anybody watch the Summer Olympics? Yeah, some of you did. Yeah, well, not yet, right? You can watch it anytime. A lot of us have that ability. So, it is just such an incredible experience. As my parents who came from Fort Wayne, Indiana, one of their favorite terms for people they really liked was wholesome. That feels like what the Olympics is all about, doesn't it? It's incredible, you know, with all the stuff that goes on in the world. We can suspend that for a couple of weeks and create a world village of people that come together, various languages and cultures and colors and flags and pride and incredibly hard work that has gotten those young athletes there, and that those beautiful opening ceremonies, and then the just gravity-defying things that the human body now can do. I mean, to watch these twists and turns through the air is just, or through the water, whatever it may be, is just absolutely inspiring and awe. And you know, it just leaves me awestruck, and I'm sure it does you too. Many of you are nodding, so you know what I'm talking about, right? So what is different about the champs, right? So in the case of Tom Daley and Maddie Lee, this diving partnership, they talked about their secret. Yeah, of course, it's the conditioned bodies and all the practice, right? That's true for all the athletes that come to the Olympics. But the difference can be, the edge can be the mental power of imagination. So they talked about in their interview right afterwards that every night they both, in their own homes, before they went to bed, would envision getting the gold. That's the difference. It's the mental power of imagination that allows us to step in fully to what it is that we want to co-create. And that's what these two divers were really doing, weren't they? They were showing us not only how to use our sixth power of the 12 powers of unity, but also our third principle in unity, co-creating the kind of life or the experience or the manifesting the dream that we wish to have. Here's our five principles if you haven't seen them before, and I like to point them out when our artist is here, Elena Dorenkina, talk about the power of imagination. Because the power of imagination includes our creativity, right? So that third beautiful painting, co-create life, that's what we're up to when we're igniting this power. So these two divers did exactly what we say to do in our manifestation process. They held in mind repeatedly what they wanted to experience. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. That's what the law of mind action says in this third principle. So we're not talking about the principles today, but they all interweave, don't they? We're talking about the 12 powers of unity, and we're actually at the midpoint of our 12 powers. We're at power number six, imagination, one of my favorites. It's an exciting one because it's about this ability that we have to step into, to cast the vision for what we want, and then to step into it. And it's fun. So through imagination, we get to see as the divine sees, you know? So we get to see everything. So in the last, you know, several years, I would say, we have begun to, you know, unearth some shadowy stuff, and we get to see more of how God sees. The good, the bad, the ugly, the wonderful, the beautiful, right? It's a part of our spiritual maturation. We are evolving as a species, and so we're at that point now that we could get to see more. And some of us want to look away and pull the covers over because some of it just isn't very pretty to look at. But here we are. We're the ones had been asked to be on this planet at this time to make a difference, to create the kind of world that we envision. Here at Unity of Walnut Creek, you know what that is? We spiritually envision a spiritually awakened world where all life thrives in conscious oneness. I mean, when you hear those words and you really let them sit in, yeah, it's inspiring, isn't it? It's like, yes, that's what we want, a world where all life thrives in conscious oneness and that we're awake, that we're alert. So with this kind of seeing, with this ability, this power of imagination, we can heal whatever needs to be healed. We can heal divisiveness. We can bring ourselves together in harmony. We can operate as one. We can still be beautifully diverse and act as one in our collaboration and our teamwork. We can restore wholeness. We can use this power to heal all the isms and the phobias throughout our society, right? And to begin to express and appreciate and respect all the diverse expressions of creativity of all of us, all of the life forms on the planet. We hold the power to be able to see the earth restored in its equilibrium. We hold the power, especially collectively, to quell fires, to stop drought. I mean, we have these kinds of abilities. We're told over and over again by the master teachers such as Jesus that we can do this, that these things, these miraculous things that were happening 2,000 years ago, these things you will do and greater things will you do. So it's not like it's just a made-up thing or a magical thinking. It's real stuff. And I know every single one of us sitting in this room has experienced those moments when you touch that piece of sky. You know what it feels like when you imagine and you step into a vision. You know what it's like when you're with two or more gathered and you begin to see the same thing at the same time and you get those, what we call God bumps, right? So this is all real stuff. Consider what life would be like without the power of imagination. There would be no art, no creative expression whatsoever, right? Everything would be very, you know, black and white, you know, just facts. Oh, right? Not a very exciting world to live in. We would have no mental pictures, no memories. All of those things require this power of imagination, so we are using it all the time. What I hope you get from today's talk is more motivation and inspiration to use it more fully and in a bigger way. And so the power of imagination is signified by, as we've already meditated on, sky blue, that light blue color that gives us that sense of vastness and clarity and openness and possibility. It's also, of course, located in the body in the third eye, which I would actually like to rename the first eye, so that we go there first instead of afterwards, right? So we move to that single eye. Jesus talked about this single eye. And sometimes when I read a scripture, I'll just Google it just to see what other people are saying about it. And a lot of times what comes up are more mainstream fundamentalist kinds of ideas. And this is a head scratcher for those folks. Now, what did Jesus mean by the single eye? I don't, this very strange thing, the single eye, maybe, and it's sometimes, you know, reworded in some of the versions of the Bible. It's the healthy eye, or it's the, and it's like, no, folks, he meant single eye. He meant the third eye. He meant the first eye. He meant the spiritual vision, the ability to see as the divine sees. That's what we believe in unity. He was talking, he was lifting us up to the possibilities, to the truth of who we are. He was calling out our divinity and saying, look, people, you can see. You can see, like I'm seeing right now, somebody who didn't forget who I was. That's the only difference between him and us or other spiritual masters, is we forget and remember and forget and remember. He just didn't forget. And so if we keep remembering, if we keep coming together like we are today in spiritual community and reminding each other through song and prayer and meditation and message that this is who I am. That's right, I forgot. I forgot when I was reading the newspaper who I was. I forgot who my world was. I forgot who humanity was. But I'm remembering right now that I can step into that vastness of possibility and see with my single eye, and my whole body can be filled with light. This is exactly what he said. Well, at least what the scriptures say, exactly what he said. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. You know what that feels like in those moments when your body is filled with light? We've all had those moments, right? Those moments that sort of, for me, it feels a little light and airy and free and sort of maybe almost like I'm lifted a little bit off the ground. You know, there's that sense of I and God are one. There's like time sort of stands still. There's those moments of seeing and knowing and being in the light like that. There's no place there for disease, dis-ease. There's no place there. for illness. There's no place there for divisiveness. There's no place there for right and wrong. It just is. We're just in the isness and the love and the light and the truth of God. So that's what Jesus means, I think, when he says, when you see in this way, when you let your eye be single, your whole body will be filled with light. The whole body of earth will be filled with light. The whole body of society will be filled with light as well. So Bartholomew is the disciple that represents the power of imagination. And the reason why is because it's a demonstration of the fact that we can see things before they happen. So Jesus calls Bartholomew to be a part of his discipleship. And Bartholomew says, because Jesus is acting like he knows him, he's like, how do you know me? And Jesus said, oh, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. But he didn't see him with these eyes. He saw him in his mind's eye. And Bartholomew was sitting under the fig tree, but Jesus was nowhere around and didn't see him. And so he's like, this guy is the real deal. I am following him. I'm going to join this caravan, this burgeoning new caravan of spiritual demonstration, which is really what that group was all about. In a process of learning and growing and being spiritual demonstrators. That's my vision for our community, that we are in this caravan together and new people come in, new folks are here today, and other people find another place and maybe they come back. A lot of people come back and say, it's been 10 years, 20 years since I've been here, but I just felt called to come back. But it's that caravan, that ever-moving caravan that of spiritual demonstration. That's who we are. It's not a stagnant thing. It's not like we come and we sit together on Sunday and it's over, right? It's about living it. It's about living the vision, living into this, allowing it to be manifested through us and as us. So with this single-eyed vision, what will you do? What can you do? So many things we can do. We can travel all over the world and experience our favorite places just sitting in our mind's eye and imagining. Armchair travel, they call that, right? We can see a sick friend healed in an instant. We can see a pandemic wiped out for good. Let's join together and see that, see the end of this pandemic, yes? Yeah, we can experience healing in fractured families and uniting once again. We can quell wildfires. There's all kinds of things we can do that we have not yet empowered our faith and our imagination to work together to get there. But maybe we will just now or tomorrow or later today in this very moment. This eye of providence, this single eye, it's also called the eye of providence. In the Reader's Digest, it breaks down the symbolism on this very ordinary thing that we all carry around in our pockets, the dollar bill. It's all about the power of imagination. And if you think of money as currency, currency is energy, right? So this is just a symbol that money itself is a symbol of energy, of spirit, of currency. And it's also got symbolism on it that is key to what we are founded on, what the vision was, the ideals when the settlers came over to create a governance here. And so there's one of the symbols that's on our money. Now people will say, wow, that's a pretty strange symbol that's on the money, right? So let's look at what it is. And as I mentioned, Reader's Digest actually breaks down some of the symbolism. And it talks about the pyramid being a symbol of strength and duration. So there's that power of strength again that we're calling in. And they say that some interpret the gap between the tip of the pyramid and the base of the pyramid as the fact that the country wasn't finished yet. And we certainly are not finished products, are we? So it's that idea that we're always evolving. We're not quite finished yet. There's not that sense of completion until there is, whenever that is. But we're always evolving. We're always maturing. There's always a little bit of a gap, a step to move into for us. And of course, then there's that mysterious eye, that eye of divine providence. It looks over us, it watches over us, but it's also that eye that we see out of through this power. The mythologist Joseph Campbell talked about how we often spend time around the four corners of that pyramid, right? So when we're at the corners of the pyramid down at the base, we don't see as much. We only see from that one limited perspective. So we might see the world through just the lens of economics or the lens of politics or whatever it is, but we can't see everything. It's kind of like that story of the blind man and the elephant, and like one feels the tail and thinks it's this thing, and one, you know, it's kind of like that. We don't see it all, but we think our perspective is complete, right? And it's not until we rise up to that place, to that pinnacle, to the divine eye, to the single eye, that we begin to see the big picture, that we begin to see the overview, the possibilities that are here, the realities that are here. And then we go, okay, well, that could be resolved. And if we did this and that, and we are able to see that from that bigger picture view. And that's what this is all about. This idea that today, I think a big downfall for us is that as we are spiritual beings on this human journey, we forget and we make our spirituality so secondary. You know, so we tend to get really caught up in the news of the day, whatever it is that that limited vision at the base of the pyramid, that's kind of where we tend to dwell, is down there. And yet when we bring ourselves up to this higher vision, it's a whole new world that we see and experience and live. At the base of the pyramid, we can't solve anything. At the pinnacle, we can solve everything. You know, Einstein said that you can't solve problems at the level of the problem. So if we just keep running around the base, we're never going to solve anything. It's not until we make our spirituality primary that we are able to see in such a way, that we are able to do what it is that we want to do by letting our eye be single. So we let our consciousness grow into that as we step in. We activate our imagination as we do this. It's the new order of the ages, which is also on our money. So this past week, I was visiting some friends in Columbia, Missouri, and sat down with a couple that I hadn't seen in, I don't know, 4 years or something. One of those things that time just sort of stands still, right, when you get together with certain friends. And of course, as typical these days, you know, the conversation turned to politics. We hadn't talked in 4 years. And so there was some of that reviewing and rehashing and finger pointing and head shaking and hand wringing that goes with all of it, right? But just a little bit later, we're sitting at the dinner table. My friend turns to me and she says, "But don't you think there's a bigger picture here? Don't you think that there's a spiritual thing going on?" And I said, "Of course." And in that moment, our two eyes became one. In that moment, we went to that place. And it was like we were full of light, right? I was full of light. She was full of light. My other friend was full of light. The dining table was full of light. The space was full of light. In that place, when we go to those places, especially where two or more are gathered, we enter into a different dimension. And what was there was all the powers that we have studied so far. You know, there was faith presence there. There was strength present there. There was love and wisdom and the power of power, the power of the spoken word. As soon as her question was posed, there was a shift into that higher realm and that ability to see a spiritual awakening is going on here. And the shadows that have been illuminated will, and all the stuff that comes with it gets dissipated. The feeling of otherness and divisiveness and all that stuff, it just gets dissipated in that light. It dissolves in the light of God's love. And there we are, sort of in our vast blue sky together, being able to recreate from there. That's where we are now in our process, I think, out of this pandemic and all the things that we've been involved in. Yes, still things are going on, absolutely. They haven't all poof gone away in the reality at the base of the pyramid. But it behooves us as spiritual beings to get up to that pinnacle and see from that place. And then we can truly co-create the world that we want to live in. Then we can truly make alive the vision that we hold here at Unity of Walnut Creek, this idea that all life thrives in conscious oneness. So as we spoke together and this sense of short-sightedness fell away and the kind of the long seeing, the big seeing opened up, it was just for a few moments. But those few moments are the ones that we remember, aren't they? Those are the moments that make impressions on our consciousness, and those are the moments that we use as our springboard into possibility. So when you tell somebody about moments that you have like this, and they can't hear it, or they want to downplay it, or you tell somebody your dream, and they want to tell you why you can't, change the subject. If you can't bring it up, just change the subject. I mean, you probably could bring it up, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe if you compliment them on something, you can build from there. But whatever it is, you know, I think we also need to protect our consciousness a little bit so that we can stay in these places and we can collect with people who can help us raise up that vibration. So we really can work together to bring forth what it is that we want to build, what it is that we want to create from here. So when we exercise this power of imagination, we awaken, of course, our greater vision and possibility. And, you know, Einstein also said, and I'm going to him today because, you know, he's considered one of the smartest guys in the world, right, still today. And he said, imagination is greater than knowledge. The smart guy said, imagination is greater than knowledge because you need the power of imagination to do things that have not yet been created or to make better the things that are here and now. And so he also said it is the preview of life's coming attractions. How fun is that, right? When we tune into our power of imagination, we get a preview of life's coming attractions. We see our friend sitting under the fig tree and we say, oh, you're going to be my friend. Or whatever it is that we see, that we, you know, these ideas of premonition and clairvoyance and these words that we make sound so like, ooh, you know, I don't have that. The psychics have that over there. The intuitives over there have that, but they have special powers. No, these are our powers. We all have these powers. We all came with these. It's a matter of wanting it, believing it, stepping into it, working it, exercising it. That's what we're called into. So what's on your mind lately? Because that will tell you exactly where you are at this point. So you can just have like a little assessment of, that's what I've been thinking about lately. And how have I been thinking about that thing lately? You know, if it's a problem, are you chewing on the problem over and over again? Or are you imagining the solution, the restoration, the resolution, the possibility that could come out of that, the blessing, the lesson that's there? So it's a matter of just shifting and asking ourselves, maybe throughout the day, just pausing. You could even set an alarm. What am I thinking right now? Is this going to produce the kind of thing that I want to live into, or am I going down some kind of spiral down rabbit hole that I don't really want to be in? And we can adjust ourselves in that way, being mindful, either redirect or enhance what is there for us. If we're in a good space, if we're flowing and clicking and there's divine flow, then we want more of that, right? So we keep reminding ourselves of the truth of who we are and reminding ourselves of what it is that we are envisioning. So one of the ways that we can keep our consciousness rigorous is just like an Olympian keeps their body rigorous, right? We keep our minds rigorous. We feed our consciousness. You know the old adage, what you are what you eat? It's the same thing for our consciousness. Your consciousness is what you feed it. And so if you don't feed it, or you don't feed it very well, and you give it a lot of negativity and worry and concern and spinning like that, you're going to get more of that. So what is it that we want to experience? We feed it that. Gratitude, love, possibility, you know, expansion, co-creation. It's exciting stuff, right? Creativity. That's where the fun comes in when you're making music or you're dancing or you're painting. You know, or whatever it is that you do that brings, you're knitting. Yes, there's a couple of people knitting right now, right here. Creativity happening in our midst. Things are being made here physically as well as spiritually. So it's what we feed ourselves. So the news of the world, for a lot of us, that's a tough one, right? Because we like to be informed. And our news keeps getting more and more feeding on the drama and the sensationalism. And so it's easy to get sucked in and hooked on that, right? Because it's designed to do that. It's designed to hook you. It's designed to feed on the negativity. And so if we can just tune in to reliable sources that give us the facts, the facts, the facts. And we got to use our intuition, right? Are these the facts or is this somebody's made up thing? You know, so we have to use our own ability to discern there, our own wisdom to know. And then how much do we need? So I find that if I watch the news every day, I hear about the same problems over and over again, respun with very little new news, you know, but I still want to know something new happened. So I'll tune in a little bit and then I'll tune out and I'll do something that lifts my spirit. You know, I'll admit, even at the beginning of the Olympics, I was used to watching the news more, and Brenly said, let's watch the Olympics. And I was like, oh, but, oh, okay. Because I knew what's going to be an Olympic. Oh, bummer. That's going to be, you know, really boring. You know, that's going to be not inspirational. Of course, I knew what was there for us, right? So once we got into it, it was like, oh, yeah, this is fabulous. You know, it lifts your spirit. It opens your heart. It opens the possibilities. So whatever that is for you, it may not be that, but it may be something else, you know? So paying attention, just paying attention. What does my consciousness need? What will I feed my consciousness right now so that is well cared for, so that I am taken care of? And then instead of listening to that same news over and over and spending that time every day, if you got a little information, you got what you need, then go co-create the solutions. Go put your energy out into the solution. Instead of the, you know, hand-wringing, finger-pointing, head-shaking thing that happens with the news. And instead, we can, you know, get involved, whatever it is that inspires you. If it's Earth, you can join our Earth Care team or get involved with their project that they're launching. I'm looking at Lee Sparling, their leader, and Carl in the front, who's a big part of that team. So you can get involved in the Earth Care projects that they're going to be sharing with us in the coming months. You can, you know, you want to build, it's the racial difficulties in our nation or in our world are troubling and heavy-hearted for you, start getting educated or work out in the world in advocacy. You know, you can, tons of like-minded groups. You know, we've had them here, many study groups, and we will again, to lift up our knowledge and open up our consciousness in these areas. If you're worried that people are losing their right to vote and this is really important to you, there are more organizations that you can count that would welcome you to work toward that. Be part of the solution, in other words. Be part of the co-creation of what you want instead of the passive receiver of the heaviness of what's going on in the world. So what else can we do? Of course, meditation and mindfulness and movement and all those things that, you know, work for us. Gratitude journals and whatever it is that buoys you up, that keeps you centered, affirmative truths, guided meditation, sitting in the silence, being in nature, all of those things help us stay healthy in body and mind and spirit. And you can nurture your creative expression right here, right? Dance with Zula, paint with Bob Hardy in October. Join David Peterson every Sunday for creative expression. There is no lack of ways that we can plug in. So we all know that what we focus on is what we get more of, right? So we just choose to focus where we want more of that, and in the process, we'll ignite our power of imagination automatically. So there's three basic steps that we can take to really work this power in this process of co-creativity. The first is the divine ideas itself, right? To receive divine ideas. And we can actually do something. That's not just something that, you know, is just grace that falls out of the sky. You know, it is also something that we can do to create a fertile field for those divine ideas. So when we create a field of consciousness that is open and willing and nurtured in all the ways we just talked about, then divine ideas come. And they come more frequently and they come more fabulously when we have nurtured that kind of consciousness and opened ourselves to receive. So that first step is to receive. And the second is to then vision it, unfold the vision a little bit further. How is it that that will look? How, you don't have to create it with your mind. You can just, if you sit in meditation, you invite spirit to show you. So you get shown symbols. That's in the realm of the power of imagination, right? You get shown pictures. You get given ideas. Maybe you hear words. Maybe you have feelings. All of those things come through a visioning process that help you flush out a vision a little bit more. And then you help to make it a little bit firmer, right? By speaking affirmative truths about it, to bring it into being, to write down your vision or draw your vision. Keep those images and those words in front of you. So when you forget, you'll remember. and you'll just allow yourself to have that practice of keeping it in front of you. So, you know, you see things as if they're already done and speak it as so. That's what affirmations really are. So if you want to be a business owner, you just speak it. I am a business owner. And you see yourself opening the doors and your first customer is coming in. You see the merchandise or the service that you're providing. You allow your mind to go to it's done. It's here. It's already realized. And then the physical follows. We go to the top of the pyramid and the rest of the pyramid follows. It's not going to work so much the other way. So whatever it is, then we move into living the vision, acting as if it's already there, right? So really living it, giving it some feet, act as if it's already done, affirm it, keep affirming it and seeing it, but also take the actions that you need to take to make it come to fruition. So you'll be guided every step of the way. I think sometimes we have an idea, a dream, a vision, and then it just feels so big that we back away. You know, and we don't go there. But that was God showing you what is yours to do, what is yours to become, what is ours to become, what is, you know, whatever it is that has arisen for you, that has been shown to you. And so if you just take one step at a time, rather than worrying about how it's all going to come to fruition, you don't have to worry about all that. You just go, okay, Spirit, what is my next step to take today? And you take that step. And then what is my next step to take today? And before you know it, you're there. You're doing that thing you were called to do. It took me 6 months in ministerial school to realize I was there. Literally. I swear to God, I sat there just like going, why am I here? You know? And I got a call to be there. And so I took the steps to be there. But it took 6 months for my body to catch up, to feel like I was worthy, honestly, to sit next to the people who had taught me for years, because I was one of the younger ones. And so it just, you know, it's just sometimes it just, if Spirit tells us, we just need to trust that the physical will catch up and not worry so much about the fear. Just follow it. Just allow it. That's living the vision. So I don't know if you know, but our board visualizes every board meeting. So every board meeting, we have a visualization for our community. And last board meeting, when we visualized, as often comes, you know, something odd that you can't really, like, why is this symbol coming in? One time we, like, three or four of us saw a copper bowl. It was like, what is this about? And then later we found out it was about prosperity. And this last time, we had just finished a discussion about this school, Sonder Creek Academy. And the school is, I don't know, does anybody know the Palmer School of Walnut Creek? So that was a private school, very popular, thriving school in Walnut Creek that closed during COVID. And the property that where they had the campus is being turned into condominiums. And there was one parent who has a background in running schools, and he said, we can do this under a new name. We can revitalize our school. And a lot of parents said, you can't do it between now and school starting. I mean, this was June of this year. But he had a vision. This guy, his name is Ryan Perez, and he saw what could be because he believed so strongly in that school. He wanted his child and all these children to be able to continue to learn in this way, where their idea is that students that are not average, because most average students are served by the public school system, but the kids that are underachieving or overachieving kind of get lost. So the idea is that they meet those kids at their own pace. And so he believed so passionately that he said, I'm going to work this out. I'm going to find a place for us. If we have to spread our grades out, we'll spread them out among several different places. And he started going to churches. And he came to our church. And he said, will you hold a few of those classes, a few of those groups? And this all happened like the day of the board meeting, right? So we talked about this. And then we went into our visioning. And we talked in the visioning, we were talking about, we just let that go. And we just said, let's just vision about partnership in the community, bigger partnership in the community. So during the vision, this thing starts moving through my heart, and it's royal blue, and it feels like it's got a shape, and it's like a thing, like it's really solid, right? And it begins to reveal itself, and it's this royal blue cube. I'm like, I don't know what that is, But it came through, and it actually felt good. And it's like it came up and through, you know? And so it was just like, it feels good, whatever. And I kind of felt like it was connected to Sonder Creek Academy then, and it was just like, this feels good. This feels right. This feels like a next step. So we all had different visions that we shared. And after the board meeting, I opened up a magazine, and the first page I flipped to on the inside cover was this. The very same cube that was moving through my heart just moments ago. When you offer a modern approach, it says, you just seem to stand out. The ad is for Charles Schwab. Charles Schwab is the place where Unity holds all of our investments. So I took it as a yes. This is a good investment. And we all had already moved toward that yes. Yeah. And the whole board had already, you know, we're moving toward that, but it was really nice confirmation, you know? So, and these kinds of things happen when we need them, and they also happen as we open up this power more and more. We open up the field of consciousness to divine ideas, right? So, and we don't just discard them. We don't just say, oh, that was weird. I got this blue cube. I don't know. I have no idea what that meant. And it was so strange. And then your friend says, oh, yeah, that was so strange. And then you just go on, right? But if you just, you have a little bit more reverence for it and say, wow, I wonder what Spirit was trying to show us there or show me there. And then you hold it in that space, it becomes clearer for us. So prosperity includes our finances, and it includes so much more. That's why the American dollar bill holds all this visionary power. On it, there are also some Latin phrases. Over the top of the pyramid, there is a Latin phrase that translates to, God has favored your undertaking. Underneath it is another Latin phrase, and it translates to, a new order of the ages. Beside it, there's the eagle, right? The eagle is spread out with a banner. We all know what this one says. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. Powerful, isn't it? It's powerful what we hold as what our ideals are, what we're founded on. But we haven't lived into them yet. This is our era to do that. It is our possibility to step in as individuals, as a society, as a collective, and it's each of our responsibility to ask ourselves, what is my part? How will I activate the power of imagination to be a co-creator in this world and to co-create the kind of world, the kind of experience I want to have, the kind of energy I want to be in? So what is yours? What do you want to invest in? What will you co-create? It's only for you to decide. And most of us aren't going to choose to be gold medalists at the Olympics. But that's okay, because that's not our journey. There's something else for us. There's some other kind of gold medal for us. There's some other kind of Olympic proportion kind of dream or vision. The power of imagination reminds us that we've been dreamers since the beginning. At the age of 2, children can see things that are not materially present. So we have the ability. We come in pretty early with that ability. And so let's get busy using it. How about? Shall we? Let's affirm this truth as we really work with our power of imagination this week and beyond. I invite you to say this with me. I see my life and world with my spiritual eye. My power of imagination is now ignited, and I live the vision I see. God bless you.